and sports with Civic Media's Mike Clemens. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Greg. How you doing?
Doing great, doing great. How could I be after what happened last night, Mike? We got to start with the Brewers. I'm reminded of when my mom used to take the rug out back and swing a wooden dowel at it. That's kind of what it seemed like the Brewers did to the White Sox yesterday.
They were cleaning out the dust, no doubt. Yeah, no, a huge win for the Brewers, 14-2. And, you know, if you're covering the game, you have to get down to the stadium. It's a 1:10 pitch, and you got to get down there about 8 o'clock in the morning. Not only because of the traffic, but they opened up the clubhouse about 9 a.m. for like an hour and a half. It's a time where you can work on feature stories and background stories with some of the players, some of the new players as well. And then at 10 o'clock, they bring out Pat Murphy. He talked to us in the media auditorium instead of his office for an hour, or a half hour rather. And that was followed by the owner, Mark Antanasio, who talked to us for a half hour. And you know, that's the one or two times a year that you get to talk to the owner. So then about 15 minutes before that part gets started, we get a text from Mike Vassallo, the PR director, says, Matt Arnold, the GM's coming down too, so come down a little earlier. Oh, okay. So we rush back over there. And the GM comes and says, yeah, Jackson Chourio, our star center fielder, is going to start the season on the IL. What? And it's because when he was at bat on what Murph say, March 4th, and I remember this story. He was playing for Team Venezuela in the World Baseball Classic. He got hit in the hand, and so then he missed a couple of games. He played in that championship game against Team USA. Didn't get a hit. But all through, you know, this month, he's been complaining about soreness in that hand. So he had two x-rays out in Arizona, and they were negative. And they got him back to Milwaukee this week, and they went for an MRI imaging, found a hairline fracture.
Ouch.
So he's been dealing with a hairline fracture in one of his fingers. You could see it, too. He came out. They did a recognition of the players who were in the World Baseball Classic, and I snapped a photo of it. He's got that brace on that one finger there. I was waving to the fans, and then he kind of ditched back into the dugout. So that's it. But you know something? They replaced him with Blake Perkins. Well, Blake Perkins has played a lot of baseball for the Brewers. And when Matt Arnold can make that move, you say, you know, maybe there's some depth to this roster after all. It's not going to be a bunch of newbies. And Pat Murphy was selling it hard, Gray. He was like, no, I'm telling you, I'm very confident in this group, the way they work together and what we saw in Arizona. So when the lineup hits the field yesterday, I mean, the names are all familiar. Terang, Contreras, Yelich, Andrew Vaughn, Jake Bowers, who had a three-run homer, Sal Frelick, Garrett Mitchell played in center field, did a nice job. Joey Ortiz, the only newcomer is the guy on third base, David Hamilton. And he's fast. I mean, you know, he's running the bases. And I think he stole third base at one point, so he looked impressive. And then it got to a point in the game where they were up by 10 over Chicago. So then Murph started emptying the bench and letting other guys in there. And then the game starts off. I was reading this in the Chicago Tribune this morning. So the first batter is a Chase Meadroth for the Chicago White Sox. And the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, 23 years old, getting his first start on opening day and maybe, you know, earned a starting job yesterday. But he gives up a home run to this guy, the leadoff batter. The White Sox are 126 years old. That's the very first time in the history of the franchise that their leadoff batter got a home run as the leadoff, as the first batter of the season. So after that, Mizorowski settles in, strikes out 11 over five innings, and that's a new franchise record on opening day. The rest of the bullpen came in, strikes out 20 players. That's a major league record, tied a major league record, and set a new franchise record for the Brewers as well. And the 14-2 win is the third highest blowout in Brewers history in 58 years of the Brewers. So all kinds of historic things happening in that game yesterday in front of 43,000 fans in AmFam Field.
Mike, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of White Sox fans out there that like dusted off a Cubs hat today and thought, yeah, we're just going to pretend that didn't happen. I don't want to talk about this in public. But what a day yesterday for Wisconsin sports, though. The Brewers, one thing, but we had hockey victory going on yesterday. The men's Badgers hockey team took on Dartmouth, and I saw it. I was cooking dinner when it was 2-1. I turned around, strained the noodles I was cooking, and it was 5-1. That one was a bit of a whirlwind.
Yeah, that was productive third period. hey, you know, 4 goals scored by the Badgers over Dartmouth. So now they advance to the regional finals, and that game now, according to our sports director, Jimmy Kaska, is at 3 o'clock tomorrow against Michigan State. So, you know, Badgers were kind of up and down their season, but they're getting hot at the right time.
And, of course, we just recently expanded a little bit up there into the UP of Michigan, so technically this is kind of a double home team thing. We've got one of our affiliate stations actually plays Michigan State broadcast, so we might have some internal company conflict here, but I think the Badgers fans would probably have a little bit of a louder voice in the company group chat, much like anybody listening now. But it wasn't just the men's hockey team. It was a little bit of everything. Women's basketball took on Harvard, got the victory in overtime yesterday.
Yeah, their new head coach. Now, you know, they've had some ups and downs. You can see that they're sort of rebuilding that program. I think there's a one point where they lost, what, like 10 straight or something. But they're getting hot at the right time, too. The Badgers women's basketball team playing at the Kohl Center last night. Harvard comes in. Game goes into overtime, and the Badgers pull it out 64-61. So the women's team is going to advance to the semifinals Monday night in Wichita, Kansas, and there's going to be a game tonight. They'll find out between those two teams who they're going to be facing Monday night in their WBIT tournament.
Yes, indeed. So the Brewers are starting out hot this season. The Badgers men's hockey team was looking good yesterday. The Wisconsin women's basketball team peaking at the right time. Mike, yeah. There's got to be a stinker in the list, and it's only the Bucks right now.
I don't know what to tell you, Gray. I mean, you know, I was just talking to a friend last night about this, too. It's like, you know, someone said, you know, are they tanking? Is this, like, intentional? I don't see it. I don't feel it because I was there for the last home game. And, you know, Doc Rivers went on a rant when people started trying to suggest that, where he said, but didn't we just win the other night? You know, it's not like we lost 40 games in a row, okay? And then he starts pointing out, you know, the efforts the guys are putting in and things that are happening and the good teams that they've played at the wrong times and on and on. So he's pretty defensive about that. Then a friend of mine who's covered the Bucks for 40 years, he finally just put out a piece the other day. It says, you know, John Horst is screwed up. These guys stink, you know. Gary Trent and Porter and all these guys that they've brought in, they stink. It's not a very good job by the GM and the addition and subtractions they've made to the roster. You know, like the Cam Thomas thing, they bring him in. He's, you know, 34 points, like second game he's in, and by Monday they're releasing him and advancing Pete Nance. So it's been a revolving door. And on top of that, you know, their star player who just makes all the difference in the world when it comes to the win-loss records, and Giannis and this hyperextended knee. I think the key quote for me in the last month is when Bobby Portis just came right out and said, you know, between the injuries and other factors and guys not getting enough playing time together as a team is the fact that, you know, all this stuff about outside, the outside noise, as he calls it, but like the reports on ESPN and others that keep on feeding this thing, is Giannis going to be in Milwaukee? Is he going to stay? Is there a trade deal in the works? That's not good for that locker room. And someone sourcing this, I don't know if it comes from an owner of the team. I don't think it's just fake news from a sports network like ESPN that wants to see this player in a larger market. I don't think it's that. Someone's sourcing this, whether it's Giannis's agent. But when you're with Giannis, I was with him the last time he talked to us the night before he got injured with the hyperextended knee. It's the same kid, man. He lives, eats, and sleeps, you know, basketball. He's there over an hour after the game and talks to us for 10 or 15 minutes. So I don't know what to tell you, but are there going to be changes? They could clean house. The owners may just say, you know what, to heck with it, and just clean house and trade him and get rid of Doc. Others say, no. We've talked to the owners. They're not interested in that. They've got other investments going on, and they don't want to see Fiserv Forum empty for the next 5 years.
No, I'd certainly not. I think from a fan perspective, Mike, we're just approaching that something's got to give kind of feeling. And what's it going to be? Well, depends which talking head you might tune into. But it feels like it can't continue in the shape that it's in right now. But like we said, we've had a lot of good sports conversations today. There had to be one stinker on the list. Something I'd like to point out is that tanking is hard. You know, people point to that. You know, you accept defeat. You've got the things that you would have to do to tank, they're almost never going to happen because you've got to convince a team of the highest competitive individuals in the world to let it go by. You've got to convince the owner who owns a business fueled by wins and victories to let that go by. And that's the other thing, too, by the way, Mike, is these rumors circulate and most teams have a little bit of armor against those rumors, and that armor is victory. If you're winning games, you can let things bounce off you, but that's just not what's happening in Milwaukee right now. Would you say
well,
that?
Well said. You know, and another thing is, about 2 weeks ago, I asked the guy who covers this stuff nationally, because he was in Milwaukee to cover this story, and he said, you know, you cover Packers, you cover NFL. He says, no one hardly ever accuses an NFL team of tanking, right? And they can really turn things around quickly with the value of those players that they get. They don't get seven or eight players when you got to put 53 in a roster. He says, that's because the NFL has a trade deadline well into their season. I mean, he said, that's the NBA's problem. If they advance that trade deadline so teams can try and fix their problems past February, that would eliminate the incentive, the lure people to say, you know, let's just tank for the rest of the season and play a bunch of second stringers in some of these games, and you know, go to players and say, you've got a sore back, right? Yeah, you've got a bad back. You're sitting tonight. And I think that's a pretty interesting thing. I think the NBA has to start with themselves and how they operate to avoid those situations, to keep teams competitive through most of the regular season.
Agreed. But first, of course, Mike, like any improvement process, somebody's got to admit that there's a problem. And anytime an organization right. that big is facing that kind of thing, well, mm-hmm. we see how it goes most of the time. So will the Bucks break out of the doldrums they're in? We'll see. That's my only two-word sports motto, Mike. It's we'll see, because anything else is a guess.
Well, I decided I don't think I can get both in, so I'm going to be there tomorrow. Bucks are playing the San Antonio Spurs at 2:00. The next chapter of our drama at Fiserv Forum, as Fiserv Forum goes.
Mike, thank you so much for giving us some time on a busy Friday morning. I hope we have a great conversation about the Bucks next week. Wouldn't that just be grand?
It'd be fantastic. Giannis has come back, and they've won two of the next three games. And you know.
And then I wake up from such a beautiful dream. Mike Clemens, Civic Media Sports
Doc
Reporter.
Doc Rivers will retire. John Horst has been fired. And Giannis is on his way to New York.
And not only that, some of the old stars are coming back. I heard Wilt was going to dust them off for us. Man, Mike, thank you so much. We'll chat with you again next week.
Thanks, Greg.
Civic Media Sports Reporter Mike Clemens. He's a full-time reporter with the Packers. And we talk Bucks. We talk Brewers, because he's got the inside line on the locker room for all of your favorite Wisconsin sports. You can get him right here every Friday morning here on 98Q Country. We chat with Mike for about 15 minutes or so. But elsewhere on the Civic Media Network, check out some of those other stations on your Civic app, and you'll find a sports-only program taking place at 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings. Check out a few stations at 8 a.m. tomorrow. You might hear me and Mike talking sports in depth, like we've been for these last 15 minutes, stretched out into an hour of sports info. That's not for 98Q Country, though. What is? All of the updates you need here at the bottom of the hour.